Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. As we continue to write content that we provide for our audiences and continue to write books, and even if we're just thinking about writing our first book, it is important to think in the productivity writer mindset. How do I stay productive? How do I continue to provide this content that people want? And that's really a key part of success, having productivity as your focus and really coming up with effective systems. So if you are a writer and you're looking to be more productive, or if you're just someone who has this goal and wants to get there faster, wants to achieve better results, this episode is for you. So today's guest, well, she is known as the inspiration to creation coach because she moves her clients from ideas to realized dreams by combining their passion and purpose and helping them take inspired action. She works with many aspiring authors and bloggers, but also coaches and consults with speakers, coaches, and conscious business owners who want to become high-performing nonfiction authors, bloggers, or both. Today's guest for episode 294 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Nina Amir. Nina, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, well, it's an honor, Mark, to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited.
Nina, it is such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I know we have so much to cover because being productive is really important. If we could tap onto it from that writing standpoint where we're able to write books, get them to our readers, that's going to have a really big impact on our business. But before we get into the how-to, the strategy, and all of that, I'm wondering if you could give us some background and share why you decided to become a writer and begin on this journey that you're on.
Oh, Mark, I think I probably decided to be a writer when I was still in elementary school and writing stories about horses that I was also illustrating. But when I got to the high school level, that was just what I did. I wrote, I journaled, I reignited the high school newspaper. I wrote for the local newspaper, a biweekly, high school news column. It was what I did. And I really wanted to make a career out of it. At the time, I really thought I wanted to be a novelist, and told my mother, who in a very practical way said, you have to be a really amazing writer to make a living as a novelist, and not too many people can do that. And so she was just being practical, but of course it put a little damper on me, and I thought maybe I'm not good enough. But I persevered, and I took a course in high school that was about journalism and realized that I could have a career as a magazine journalist, and went to college. Got a degree in magazine journalism, where I also learned that if I could write an article, that I could write a nonfiction book, because a nonfiction book was just a series of articles all on the same topic. So I said, okay, fine, went on my way and, started my career. And somewhere along the line, somebody asked me to edit a nonfiction book. And I did that, and I edited several of them. And then said, well, why am I not writing a book? And that's how I got on this path. I needed to learn everything I could learn about becoming an author and succeeding as an author. And I began to share what I was learning with others. And between all of that and, some hard work and tenacity, that got me where I am today.
Nina, that is definitely an awesome story. You were very interested into writing from pretty much the beginning, as soon as you can start writing. So Definitely great to hear that. I mean, you were interested in this for so long, and now look at you. You're a writer helping other people become writers. I definitely love that story. But can you talk a little bit about, because you mentioned that you had this idea that you got to be a really good writer to make a living. So can you talk about how you decided, okay, I'm just going to continue writing, even though this seems like maybe this has a new level of challenge, or this feels like something that is really hard to achieve. Like, can you talk about like your decision to continue writing and eventually get to where you are, even with that in your mind?
Yeah, I think at that point, you know, it was really less about, from my mother's perspective anyway, it was less about writing in general than it was about being a novelist. but I think I just must have been born with a lot of what I call author attitude, which includes willingness, optimism, objectivity, and tenacity. And I just think I had a lot of tenacity and a lot of optimism. And I just, you know, I went looking for another way to write and discovered journalism. And so to me, that was just another way. It was a way for me to continue writing and have a career. And I knew I could write. All my professor, you know, my teachers in high school had told me I could write. And so I knew that that was the case, you know, and I'd already had bylines. I'd been writing, as I said, for local newspapers. And so that, I think I had the confidence in my writing and didn't really hear my mother. Yeah, it was like, you're not good enough. But I put that to the side. And I think, Mark, the interesting thing there is I'm thinking about it, and I don't know that I've ever thought about it before, but probably that was the beginning of me realizing how important it is to master your mind. And, you know, besides all the work I, you know, do as an author coach and blog coach and book coach, I'm a high performance coach. And that's all personal development. And I use it with writers and I use it with myself. And I've been involved in the area of personal development since my late 20s. And I guess maybe way back then in high school, I already knew that I needed to master my mind if I was going to succeed. And there was a point also when I was already, you know, an adult and was well on my way in my career as a writer, but I had decided to write a book and learned very quickly that I needed to have an author platform, which we can discuss if you want, but you know what that is. But in any case, I needed an author platform, a built-in readership for my book so that I could have it succeed. And literary agents were telling me that they were interested in my work, but I didn't have this platform. And I went out and started to build author platform online and with blogging and speaking and whatnot. And after about 8 years of not getting a book published, even though I'd had literary agents, I was about to quit then. And I said, you know, this just isn't worth it. Like, I'm spending all my time building platform and not writing, and my books are still not out in the world. And it would have been really easy at that point to quit. And I think that a lot of writers get to a point like that where they say, this just is too hard, too overwhelming, too hard, too time consuming. I'll just go back to doing whatever I was doing before. But at that point, I think my tenacity kicked in, as did some, you know, underlying knowledge. And I was already involved in personal development then, but you know, that I had to get out of my own way. And I basically embraced all those tasks because I knew they were necessary. And I embraced them. And you know what? That was 8 years into it. And 4 years later, I held a traditionally published book in my hands. Of my own, obviously. And, you know, I think that it's a lot about getting past all the negative thoughts and the things other people tell you, which are not true necessarily. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. A lot of awesome stuff. I mean, when people do say negative things, it's only true if you let it be true. Definitely, like, there may be people who aren't sure about your path. But they may not necessarily be the best people for you to be listening to. You may be, like, you've got the case where, like, you know, like, you're trying to make a certain amount of money and, like, someone's like, you can't be thinking that big and that person's broke or something like that. So, you definitely gotta be looking at who is the person, giving you the advice. We'll definitely talk about building an author platform because that's definitely something very important. But going back into the productivity, I'm wondering if you could share, like, what exactly, what are some of the key habits that productive writers seem to have?
Okay, so one of the habits is, I would say, clarity, because they're very clear on their purpose and they're clear on their projects, like what their projects entail and what they have to do every day. And when they have that clarity, then they don't just sit down to write and stare at a blank screen. They know exactly what they're going to write that day. Therefore, they dive right in. You know, there's no wasting time. And they are blocking time. One of their habits is a daily writing habit, you know, and that is they're sitting down every day at basically the same time and they're writing. And that keeps them immersed in the project. It's not coming back to your project after 3, 4 days or 3, 4 weeks is not conducive to productivity because you have to go back and review what you've done before to get yourself caught up and back, you know, ready to start writing wherever you left off. So when you write on a consistent basis, you don't waste that time either, and you jump right in. You also learn not to wait for the muse to hit you, you know, to come along. You're not waiting for to get in the flow. You just sit down and you write and you get in the flow. And a lot of that has to do with the habit of raising your energy, you know, of and this is something that's not often talked about with
Definitely.
writers, but we really need to come to the desk with the right energy. And that is emotional, mental, and physical. We need to have you know, be in a good space. I mean, if you're unhappy, okay, fine. You know, we all get unhappy or depressed or, you know, whatever, stressed at certain times, but it's the habit of showing up and saying, okay, I'm going to leave that behind and I'm going to raise my emotional energy right now. I'm going to focus on something that makes me happy. Maybe that's just writing, right? But you're going to change that mood. You're going to like flip a switch. And the same with mental energy. So actually where our thoughts are, that determines where our emotions are. So this is again, you know, managing your psychology. And the most productive writers manage their psychology so that they're not thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm an imposter, this is overwhelming, I can't do it, you know, what will people think? Whatever is thoughts are rumming around in there, and that then affect their emotions. So they're managing all of that. And then when they get to their desk, they're actually bringing high physical energy as well. So they're, you know, doing whatever it is, exercising before or breathing or doing something that gives them energy. Because remember, your brain needs oxygen. So you need to do something that, you know, where you're oxygenating your body. They're taking care of themselves from a physiology standpoint. They're drinking the water and eating well. So we had, you know, they approach it with clarity. They come with the right energy. That's a habit. They have the daily routine of writing. They continually work on eliminating the distractions that we all have today, but they work on eliminating those distractions and doing their work in an environment where they can really focus and therefore be more effective. I would also say that they're practicing the habit of courage, because sometimes it takes a lot of courage to sit down and write, you know? And they make writing a priority. So those are just some of the habits I think productive people have.
Nina, a lot of really awesome habits in there. I mean, daily writing, making it a priority. I mean, these are some really essential habits that you absolutely need. But I think the energy one you mentioned, that's something that really does not get too much coverage at all. It's one of those silent habits that like you definitely know it's important because I mean, there's a difference between like writing on a good night's sleep and writing on like 2 hours of sleep. There's definitely a big difference there. But what are your recommendations for us to maintain our energy throughout the day so that we stay productive instead of having the evening where it's like we just wipe out?
Great question. So most of what I'm going to say comes directly out of studies in high performance. But you mentioned sleep. Sleep's enormously important. And what we know is that if you get 6 hours or less, 6 hours or less sleep per night, you begin to function as if you're impaired. So you want to be getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Okay, so that's number one. Now, if you can't do that for some reason, then during the day, you're going to need to do something like power nap or meditate, both of which will raise your energy. Okay, you need to drink enough water. So most of us don't drink enough water, myself included. I mean, I have to actually, you know, remind myself on an hourly basis to drink water. So you have to drink a lot of water. The brain is mostly water. And if you don't drink enough, you're going to, you know, your brain can't function correctly. So you're not going to be effective. You need to move your body. A lot of writers and other people sit at their desks for hours on end and don't move. That's a mistake. So you want to actually, we know that at about 50 minutes, our productivity and our creativity decline. So at about that 50 minute or hour mark, you want to get up from your desk and you want to stretch and move. You want to maybe, you know, run up and down the stairs or take a quick walk around the block or do some air squats or jump up and down, you know, do marching in place, anything that moves your body, gets your blood flowing, gets you breathing. One of the high performance habits I often teach is just to do deep breathing, like abdominal breathing, where it's not into your chest, but into your abdomen. And it's fast and forceful. And you do that for like 20, you do 20 deep breaths like that. And it oxygenates your brain. So if you're taking breaks and on those breaks, drinking, moving, oxygenating, you're going to be able to sustain your energy all day long. And if you also come to the desk with, you know, with enough sleep and having eaten well, that's going to make a difference. And that's the last thing I would add on this physiology piece is watch what you eat. Because if you go to lunch and you eat something, let's say a sandwich, a turkey sandwich, and you show up at your desk and you're falling asleep an hour later, whatever you ate didn't give you energy. That sandwich, that turkey sandwich didn't give you energy. Now, if you go and have lunch of a salad, yeah, with some kind of protein on it or whatever, if you want, but you, and then you come back and you notice you have energy for 3, 4, 5 hours, obviously that's going to aid your productivity. So these are all things to consider. And yeah, people, I don't know of anyone else who's actually talking about this kind of thing when it comes to productivity for writers.
Yeah. And like a lot of great insights that again, like are really not that covered. You don't really hear a lot of people talking about maintaining your energy or building on it. The little things like eating the right foods and getting the right sleep, drinking enough water, all those matter for success. Similarly to the other habits you mentioned, like writing as a priority, writing every day, writing X amount of words each day. I mean, all that behind the scenes stuff matters also because your body and your mind are connected, and if your body feels unenergetic, you're not putting the right things into it, that's going to translate to your mind as well.
Right, and that brings us back to the mind, right? And yes. So then when your body loses energy, your mind is going to go the same way, not just in terms of the ability to focus, but what it's thinking about. So then that's where, you know, all your self-doubts come up and the little voice is saying, you're not good enough. You're an imposter. This is overwhelming. I can't do it. This is hard. Maybe I should just quit. Nobody will read it anyway. What if I get judged? What if I succeed? What if I fail? Right? And it's a tailspin that then gets your emotions involved. And it may have all started with what you ate for lunch or how much you slept last night.
And that's, I mean, you saying that, I'm actually thinking about that for myself, because the healthier I eat, the better thoughts come on. That any instance where I don't eat as healthy, it's more of the negative thoughts. So I never really thought of it that way. I knew it affected productivity, but your mindset, I never really thought of it that way. But now it's like really clicking with me. So, and I'm sure it's clicking with you at home or driving, listening to this episode.
Yeah, it all goes together. It's, you know, it could be that your mind gets started on something and lowers your energy. And then because think about it. Okay, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. This is overwhelming. I'm going to go eat some ice cream. Now I ate the ice cream and I have a sugar high, then a sugar crash, right? And now there's no way that I can write because I'm tired and I don't feel good. And, you know, that's that. Now, think about it the other way. You say, you get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to exercise. No, I don't really feel like it. Okay. So now we're dealing with the mind. I don't really feel like it, but I'm going to go exercise. Yeah. Oh, no, I really should be writing. No, I'm going to go exercise. So you go exercise and it gives you all these, you know, great hormones, endorphins and whatever that make you feel happy and good. And plus you feel great because you went and did the thing you didn't really want to do, but you did it because you knew it was good for you. And now you come to your desk and you have already oxygenated your body. You've moved it. The blood's flowing. Your brain is happy. You've drank a bunch of water probably because you exercised and you're feeling great about yourself. And now you sit down to write and what's your mind saying? You've got this. You've got this. You can do it. Come on, let's do it. Let's go. Increases your productivity immediately.
And I know we've been talking about energy lately in this episode because, again, it's something that rarely gets covered. But let's say for this scenario, we're in some kind of a funk where, let's say, our energy is down. Let's say we've got these inner demons in our mindset, the self-doubt. But whatever the reason is, let's say that we're in a funk. What would your approach be for getting out of that funk? Because you mentioned earlier that it's okay to be unhappy in some cases because it happens to people. So how do we get out of that kind of a feeling when it hits us?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just repeat that it is okay to be unhappy, not for long periods of time, right. But it happens to all of us, right? So we want to be kind to ourselves and just accept that sometimes we emotionally aren't where we would like to be. So yeah, so we're in a funk, we're not feeling good about ourselves, we lack confidence, we, you know, maybe not writing consistently, all those things. And so we feel stuck. I would do a couple things. One, I would get out my calendar and I would schedule my writing blocks. And before I ever wrote, I would schedule my exercise blocks. And even if those who are listening are not exercising, if you're not exercising, fine, it's time to get out there and do something, even if it's walking. So let's just say you don't normally exercise, okay? So you're going to block out time before you write to go for a 30-minute walk. Just walk. If you want to listen to something inspirational, fine, but just walk and let your book ideas gestate and get your body moving, okay? Now, if you're an exerciser, go to the gym, do whatever you do. Because now what you've done is you have released all those good endorphins and other hormones that improve your mood. Now, you've got this writing block on your calendar, so you come back, and that's the next thing you're going to do, and you're probably thinking, you know, I don't really want to do this or whatever, but you sit down anyway, and I want you to set a timer for 15 minutes, and you're going to write for 15 minutes. If that's all you get done that day, cool. That's it. You exercised, you moved your body, you sat down, and you wrote for 15 minutes. Tomorrow, same thing. Maybe tomorrow you realize, well, 15 minutes was not very much. Maybe I could do 30. And you set the timer a second time for another 15 minutes. And you just keep this up. Because here's the thing. What you're doing is building a habit. You're exercising, moving the body, oxygenating, bringing up your mood, and you're writing. When you're done with those two things, you've accomplished something, especially if you did it first thing in the morning. It's like that video of that, I think he's like a naval officer or something. He talks about making the bed first thing in the morning and that it's so important, you know, like in the army or whatever, to make when you make the bed first thing in the morning, you've already accomplished something. It starts the day out with you feeling accomplished. So this is the same. Do the exercise so that it increases your emotional well-being. And then write for at least 15 minutes. And what you're going to discover is that's going to grow. It's going to grow and you're going to start feeling better in general. So those are the two things I would do, Mark.
Really awesome stuff. And something I want to emphasize in Nina's answer is that there's no like magic put the sock under your pillow or something like that and then you get out of your funk. This is if you want to get out of what some kind of self-doubt or anything like that, it really just boils down to taking action towards what you're going after. So Nina mentioned just setting some time each day to write and also some time to exercise because that really stimulates the mind and does so many great things for you. But really that key thing is to take action towards what it is that you're going after and really setting times and being consistent at a certain time each day. And then you can definitely get out of a funk that you're in.
Yeah. And let me just add, Mark, that, you know, what happens is if you're not writing, you know, you're in this funk and you're not writing, your brain is going to start telling you how you're not a writer. and you don't follow through on what you said you were going to do. And oh, you said you were going to be a writer, but you don't write. Writers write. You know what I mean? So you've got this chatter going that is pretty detrimental. But as soon as you sit down and you start to write, that changes. So it's a matter of really kind of convincing your mind that this is who you are and what you do. And even if it's 15 minutes a day, you can begin to say, I'm a writer. I write every day for 15 minutes. And that will calm that chatter.
Yeah, there's also that part you mentioned there, really great, that when you don't take action, like all those thoughts boil up. And if you let them compound over time, it could really feel like you could really feel like you have no shot whatsoever at becoming a writer, which isn't true. But that's the idea you could give yourself if you really stay away from action that long and hold it off.
Right. Exactly right.
The mindset, we've really been focused on that. But for writers who are looking to really build up on this, I know we talked a little bit about an author platform. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that for someone who doesn't know what exactly is an author platform and how do we go about building our own?
Sure. So an author platform is, I think I said before, a built-in readership for your book in your target market. So what does that really mean? It means that you are becoming visible to your target market, your potential readers, in whatever way you can. So blogging and sharing those blog posts on social media, being on social media, whether that means posting something, you know, just writing something or doing like a Facebook Live or whatever. It could mean speaking to audiences. It could mean doing online training. It could mean building a mailing list, a significant mailing list. It could mean a podcast like this one. It could mean just about anything, you know, a radio show, a TV show, or YouTube station. Anything that's building a large number of followers who are interested in what you do. So that's the visibility part. You want to get in front of your potential readers. Then what goes along with that is that, you know, and your platform will grow when people begin to share what you're doing. Okay. And that's reach. So I often talk about platform in terms of visibility in your target market, how far what you say or share reaches. So how often is it shared and, you know, how far does it travel? And then authority. So authority actually often comes with visibility and reach, because the more people see you and hear about you from their friends or whatever, the more you're seen as the authority on something, the thought leader. And this is in particular true for nonfiction writers, that, you know, you want to be seen as an authority or an influencer. So that comes along with it. And once you have all of these things, you have the visibility, you have the reach, and you have the authority, you do become an influencer. People begin to listen to you and to follow you and want to know what you think about things. And, you know, that's when, you know, you've been teaching and sharing and supporting and being of service and contributing for all this time to your target market, your audience. And then when you say, I have a book, by the way, you can go get it. It just launched or whatever. People are listening. They're paying attention. So you have to think about how do you respond to somebody who's of influence in your life. You pay attention to what they say, and sometimes you do what they recommend. So that's what you're looking for. So that author platform is, you know, doing all these things so that people are listening to you and paying attention and want to be involved with you and your work. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I mean, I see it with like a lot of people. They create content in all these different places. They're providing free value. And then, as you mentioned, it's like, hey, I just came out with this new book, and they suddenly have an audience. So building an author platform is definitely something very important. The email list is probably one of the most valuable assets that you can have for building your author platform. But one of the things that I do want to address is, I mean, an author platform, it's part of being a writer, because you need to get the book sales, but you also need to write the book. So how do you balance writing books with building your author platform, and in some cases, just maintaining it by doing things like scheduling content?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because one of the biggest complaints I get, or concerns I get from aspiring authors is that building a platform takes a lot of time and it takes them away from writing, not to mention that some of them only want to write. Mm-hmm. So you have to me, if somebody asked me that question as a high performance coach and an author coach, I would say block time. You know, you have your writing block, right? Maybe it's 2 hours every day. And then you have maybe an hour or two that's platform building time. And you just divvy it up that way so that you're not sucked in. And I think that's the biggest problem is people get sucked in. They go, okay, I'm supposed to share on Facebook. Okay, share my blog post on Facebook. And oh, but look at this video. And oh, look at what this person said. And yet for me, I mostly use social media for platform building. You will find me active with some people and in some groups on Facebook. But on Twitter, I'm really not very active there. But you'll see my stream there has a constant flow of content. So that's always my goal, is how do I get content going in as many places as possible, as frequently as possible, without being as involved. So there's automation. And I would say look at ways to automate what you're doing. And again, just block it out and, you know, do what you got to do. Get in, get out. And that's how you're going to work at this, you know. And again, you know, if you want to get speaking gigs, you're going to block time for speaking gigs. And if you are very scheduled and strict with your schedule, then you can balance this. It is a balancing act though, Mark. It really is.
And I mean, we talk about scheduling and blocking time, which are definitely very valuable. Just a quick question on that. How much time do you typically allocate each day to creating your schedule? And is this something that you do the night before some other time in the day?
Another really good question. So I sit down with my planner. So I have a planner. You know, I used a bunch of different planners. We can talk about that if you want. But so I have my planner and I get out my planner. And then I open up my calendar on my computer and I look at what's scheduled for the next day and I plot it into my planner. Okay. Then I look at all my time slots and I divvy up what I'm going to do the next day, when I'm going to do it. So when am I going to get up and do my morning routine? When will I write? When will I work on promotion? When will I write a blog post? When do I have a client? All those things. But of course, the client sessions and anything I'm doing, like for my Nonfiction Writers University programs, that's all already on there. So, you know, I work around all of that. So I do that the night before. And then when I get up in the morning, the planner comes back out. And it's one of the first things I do in the morning, usually the first thing. I look at the planner, I double check what I'm doing, then I begin to make my priorities for the day. And I may have done that the day before. I may have already said, these are the things I have to get done tomorrow. And I'll double check the calendar. I'll double check all of that. And then I go on and, you know, usually I have a morning routine and then I'll come back and I'll write. There are a few days when I don't write because I have a client early or something like that. But it's all planned. This planning starts the night before and then it continues into the morning. And here is a big productivity tip that we know from high performance. And that is that if you check your email first thing in the morning, you will be, I think it's something like 20 or 30% less productive during your day. Yeah. And part of that, I may be misquoting the number, but I'm pretty sure it's 20 or 30%. I think it's 20. The reason for that is that your email box is a convenient organizing system for everybody else's agenda, not yours. So you want to stay away from it till you have done the things you want to get done that day. Now, for a lot of us, we can't ignore it for 5-6 hours, right? Yeah, I have a team who I work with that, you know, they're in England. So my team is on a totally different time zone. And if I don't check in to see if they need something from me, you know, early in the day, then I'm going to miss the opportunity to get them what they need until their next day. So, you know, there are different scenarios for different people. For me, I try not to check the email till after I've written or after I've done my morning routine, because if there's something I have to do, then I might need to reorganize my day and writing might have to happen a little later, right? But that's, you know, you have to have a little bit of flow and flexibility with that kind of thing. But definitely, if you can stay out of your email box for as long as possible, you will be more productive.
Well, that's a very powerful productivity tip. And I mean, with the email inbox, it is everyone else's to-do list. It's you not being able to write the book. And yes, it's important to answer some emails. I mean, that's how I schedule a lot of these interviews, through email. So it is important, but it's not the top priority. The top priority is doing the things that really align you with the goals and where you want to go and what you want to accomplish. So definitely. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's a really insightful productivity tip. Checking email sometimes something we do automatically, so definitely something to think about. And speaking of, like, I mean, things to think about, like, you get a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different insights by reading a lot of books. So with that in mind, Nina, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Oh. Okay, so off the cuff, since you did not prepare me for that one, I would definitely say Brendon Burchard's High Performance Habits. The second one would be Brendon Burchard's book, The Charge. And the third one, let me think. You know, I would read Jack Canfield's book, and hold on, I got to get the name of it. Because it's escaping me.
Yeah, he's written a bunch of them.
Success Principles.
Okay, Success Principles.
Yeah, sorry for the sound of typing.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, so to have a positive impact, yeah, all three of those will do it.
Nina, thank you for...
Of course, anything, I would just qualify that. Anything by Tony Robbins also.
Oh, yes, definitely. Tony Robbins, a lot of great books from him.
Yes.
Nina, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We will throw all of those in the show notes, marketbirdie.com/E294. We'll also throw in Content Marketing Secrets in there for anyone looking to get more traffic, get more revenue. That book is the answer to some of those questions that you may have. So that will be in the show notes as well. And Nina, before we wrap this up, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Why? Because if you can connect emotionally to the reason why you want to do anything at all, including writing a book, you are more likely to take action. So you have to know your reason and be committed to your reason. Otherwise, you won't do it. So why? Why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? Why does this fit in with my values? Why is this who I want to become? Right?
Yeah, that's a really great insight. Why? I mean, we really get deep into the core of what we're doing. We can learn a lot about ourselves, really ignite our desire to accomplish the goals that we set out to do. So thank you for sharing with us that question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. You listening at home or in your car, Nina has actually not one, but two really awesome resources for you. One of them is a free writing productive assessment, and the other one is 20 High Performance Habits and Strategies. The links to both of those will be in the show notes. Nina, would you like to expand on those resources or just leave us with some last words?
Well, the High Performance Writer... I'm sorry, the writing productivity quiz is an awesome way to just get some feedback on how productive you are as a writer. And when you take it, you'll be told, you know, whether you're semi-productive or productive or not productive at all, and it'll give you a few tips. And, you know, it just gives you some idea where you are. So, you know, we all like assessments. We like to grade ourselves. So, it's an easy, you know, maybe 2-minute or 3-minute way to assess your productivity. So I highly recommend that. The 20 high performance habits and strategies you can implement right now is a quick read. It's a short little PDF ebook you can get from my website. And if you're interested in, you know, leveling up in any area of your life, if you're not a writer or you are a writer, but you're interested in personal development, it's an awesome, awesome resource. And then just, yeah, my last words, I guess, would be that to remember that no matter what it is you want to do in life, whether it's to write a book or start a business or be a great parent, it all comes back to you. If you think that there are challenges or obstacles in your way, really the biggest one is you. You are your biggest obstacle. You stop yourself. And so to me, the way to get over those obstacles is to start going inward, to work on yourself. And that's where personal development comes in and is the solution to most of the things we think are problems. It all comes back to us. So start working on yourself. And the books I recommended, a lot of the things I said today, all go back to that. To mastering your psychology, your physiology, your productivity, your influence, which, you know, is the platform, and your purpose, which goes back to the why.
Nina, thank you so much for sharing those final insights with us, for sharing all of your great resources with us, which again will be in the show notes. But Nina, once again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, pleasure was all mine. And again, I was honored. Thank you so much, Mark. It was lovely to have this talk with you.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.